Welcome to Bio, a podcast produced by the Biographers International Organization. Bio is devoted to promoting the work of biographers and advocating for biography as a genre with the support of biographers and biography lovers worldwide. I'm Bio member Jenny Skoog in New York City. On each episode, we talk with biographers about their work. In this series of reintroducing Bio as an organization, we've heard from founding members, chairs of special committees and awards, as well as some of the recipients of those awards. Today, I want to look forward. What are some exciting things on the horizon for Bio? To get a sense of things, I hopped on a Zoom session in February 2025 with Bio's current president, Steve Paul. During this conversation, I learned about a new fellowship from Kitty Kelly, what biotherapy is, and the myriad ways to tell a life story within the genre of biography. Steve Paul has written two biographies, Literary Alchemist, The Writing Life of Evan S. Connell, published in 2021 by the University of Missouri Press, and Hemingway at 18, The Pivotal Year That Launched an American Legend, published in 2017 by Chicago Review Press. He is currently at work on a biography of the American poet William Stafford. I began our conversation by asking him what he was excited about in his role as president of Bio.
Well, I'm really excited about just a few weeks from now, our conference on Black biography, which will be happening in Montgomery, Alabama. We were able to pull it off. It was a big stretch for us, but we got the right people talking about it and making it happen. And, you know, for Bio, it's a new direction in the sense of its first of what could be a series of regional conferences on a variety of topics. So it's a satellite conference in addition to our major main annual conference, which will be happening this year in June in Washington, D.C., a very interesting town that we'll be visiting. So those two things, you know, with the planning happening simultaneously, it's a lot of balls in the air being juggled by a lot of people. And it just kind of reflects what I think is the electricity that we have in this, or the energy and the enthusiasm that we all share for the craft of biography. And so I just think, you know, as those conferences occur and as other things happen, you know, awards, and as we start looking ahead to the future, I just feel like we're in a really great place right now and just have to keep up the momentum.
When you talk about the Montgomery conference coming up in these regional satellite conferences, how do you get that off the ground? Tell me about that process.
You know, Ray raised the idea. He had recently been to Montgomery and kind of thought that this would be a good thing for us to do. I think he might have been surprised when I said, yeah, let's do it. And, you know, we formed a committee. That was probably about a year and a half ago. We formed a committee. We started talking about it. What do we want to do? What's it going to look like? I happen to have a friend and colleague from another sphere, Kirk Kernut, who's a Hemingway and Fitzgerald scholar, who happens to teach at Troy University. And I immediately got in touch with him and said, hey, we want to do this conference in Montgomery. Can you help us out? And Kirk became a really vital partner and brought in Troy as a co-sponsor of the conference. So that's been great. I mean, we're still working on details. I got another committee meeting this week. I mean, there are a lot of things that are about to happen, and it's almost here. I can't wait to watch it unfold.
When you became president of Bio a year and a half ago, as reality has set in, what has your experience been?
You know, all of our board members are volunteers. All of our officers are volunteers. So, and we all have other lives. But Bio takes up a lot of time. I can't deny that. It's great time. You know, I'm sort of well organized. I try to let people make decisions and delegate and do all those things. I'm just a guide, someone that brings people along, and am really thrilled with the quality and the energy that we have on our board and on our committees, making things happen. You know, I'm thrilled we're in this moment of growth. My appearance as president sort of coincided with this wonderful gift we've received from Kitty Kelly that is helping to fund a lot of our activities, especially our website redesign, which we're all hoping we'll see later on this year. That's a big project. It's an expensive project, but it's coming together very well, and we'll be excited when that happens. So that's another big project along with the conferences we're working on. Part of Kitty's gift also funds a new fellowship, a dissertation fellowship for doctoral students who are working on biography. We were a little concerned that can we get the word out? Will we get any applications? And early on, God, it seemed like, nobody was going to apply. And then all of a sudden, we've got nine applicants. This is the first time out. We'll be giving the winner $25,000 to support a dissertation, which is just fantastic. And again, Kitty Kelly's initiative and the committee that we built around Kitty for this is just fantastic. I'm really thrilled that the board approved a proposal by me to pay our Plutarch judges a small fee, but a good, fee. I think I figured out that because of the number of books that our Plutarch judges cast their eyes over and read, I think it comes to about $5 a book. But it's a new thing. For years before, it was all volunteer. Now, I think it's really vital. Every other major literary award that I'm aware of pays their judges. It takes a great amount of time to read so many books and to be thoughtful about that process. We've raised some of the awards fees, again, initiatives by other board members. We've been able to pay our Plutarch Award winners last year and this year some extra money than we've been giving in the past. Some of our other awards have been funded to new levels. And so all of that, I just think, is a great sign of the belief that we have as a board in what we do and in how we promote and educate and celebrate the work of biography. So those are some of the tangibles that I think happened in the last couple of years. The intangibles are just, I'm just totally inspired by being around, hundreds of people at our conferences, by hearing wonderful writers talk. And I'm speaking personally of being inspired by the people we bring in to talk at our conferences or our biography lab, which is another relatively new program for us, the annual online workshop program. I'm just constantly inspired. I'm reading all the time, learning all the time, even as I'm working on what would be my third literary biography. I've learned from each of those projects, and I'm still learning, and I'm learning from everybody around me, as I read their books and as I listen to them talk. So just personally, that's an intangible. And part of my excitement for being involved in this organization.
Why do you think it's important for biographers to meet up or have community?
As writers, we work often in our own little bubbles. And I think writers like to be able to get together and talk in any number of ways. I used to be on the board of the National Book Critics Circle years ago. Every literary organization that I know of has an annual conference or a gathering, and you make friends and you have conversations. One of the really interesting things that happened in bio, this started almost 5 years ago during the pandemic, when a lot of we went online like with everybody else, and someone, I think it was Anne Boyd Rue, former board member, had the idea to create some Zoom discussion groups. We call them roundtables. I think I was on that committee that year and helped create some of those groups, one of which that I facilitate is a literary biography roundtable. Started out with about a dozen members. We're now up to about two dozen, although, and for the almost 5 years, we've been meeting every 2 weeks. And it's become this wonderful group we share. There's a combination. A couple of us have published previously published biographies. We've launched a couple more in the last year or two. Everybody's working on at least their first biography. And again, we share our proposals or chapters. We feedback. It's not a writer's workshop group, but it's a discussion group, and it's a way to, again, to feel like we're not alone in our little writing bubble. Funny, a couple months ago, one of our members realized that she needed what we now call some biotherapy. And we had a long conversation about what was happening with her book and their conversations with her editor, and it turned out to be a very good thing. So biotherapy, I think, is a buzzword that we can share with all of our members if need be.
There's all kinds of different creative ways that you can take biography, and I'd like you to talk to us a little bit about that.
Every time I go to a bookstore, I was just in another city and I went to a bookstore and I looked at the biography shelves. There were many biography shelves, and I would say 90% of the biographies I was looking at were all memoirs. Autobiography, memoir, and you look at Audible, you look at bookstores, online bookstores, regular bookstores. I mean, everybody rows those things together, and we at Bio, we believe we're different. We do biography, and okay, we'll live with some of the things. Some of our members a few years ago got the Pulitzer Prize Committee to separate biography from memoir and autobiography, which was a great step, and I wish we could do more of that with awards programs elsewhere. I won an award for a book from a regional literary organization for my previous biography, and it was in the category of biography and memoir, and I was actually a judge the following year for that award. I didn't have much luck asking them to separate the categories, but I recognize there are some wonderful, beautiful memoirs. What we have been seeing, I think, is sort of a new hybridization, I think, of memoir and biography. As authors look at their subjects through their own experience and maybe their own lens. For Megan Marshall, one of our great members and advisory council members, who did a book about Elizabeth Bishop, the poet, and used her own experience with Bishop as the through line in this book. And that was, kind of a big step in what I started calling hybrid biography. And we've just seen more and more of that. Publishing likes memoirs more than it likes biographies, it seems to me. But beyond that, there are other kind of creative approaches. One book last year, and I wrote about this in a little essay for our newsletters last fall. Alexis Pauline Gum's biography of the poet Audre Lorde was very unusual or very different in a way, and it was very poetic. At the same time, it was scholarly, and it was, thematic and lyrical, and it took you through Lorde's life in a really kind of refreshing sort of way. We've just announced it's one of the 10 long list finalists for our Plutarch Award this year. When I was looking over my shelves, knowing I was going to be talking to you, I started thinking about, well, who are, what biographers have I had the pleasure of reading over the years or being influenced by? And one of which, of course, was the privilege 35 years ago of spending a few hours with Robert Caro and writing a piece about him. And he's kind of a standard bearer in our world. I also wanted to mention Scott Donaldson, the late Scott Donaldson, who was a Fitzgerald and Hemingway scholar, who I'd learned a lot from being on the Hemingway trail the last 20 some 25 years. But I was reminded of one of his really interesting and under-recognized books. It's from the 1970s. It's called By Force of Will. And it's a biography of Hemingway, but it's done he did it in a thematic way. So each chapter or each section looks at Hemingway through different lenses, very kaleidoscopically. So I've just gonna mention fame, money, sport, politics, war, love, sex, friendship. And each one of those sections has multiple chapters. So even then, 1977, I think it was, we were seeing different forms of biography. Something I would suggest anybody, especially in the world of Hemingway, where he's been so examined in so many different ways. I think people need to find new ways. You know, do we need another biography of Hemingway? Which I had to ask myself some years ago when I was working on my on my slice of life biography. Doing it differently, doing it in a fresh kind of way might work for all sorts of subjects. But yeah, I think we've always had kind of these offshoot or tributaries of biography. That was one I thought was worth highlighting because it's, again, it dates back to the 70s.
Right. And then there's different forms, like a graphic biography or a documentary film about a person that requires that depth of research and then the condensing of it into a 90-minute film.
I've even seen, and I have on my shelves, biographies in the form of poetry, poetic biographies, which I think is kind of interesting. We haven't, I don't think we've necessarily brought a poet biographer into, you know, one of our panels in the past. It's something I'd, you know, like to see at some point. The documentarians are a big part of our world. Our conferences have shed a light on that. There's audiobiographies. I think we're going to be hearing about that this next conference. And I know people, you know, here in Kansas City who have done some really fine audio biographical programs. So, yeah.
As president of BIO and also as a biographer yourself, I understand you are finishing up or working on a third biography. What is it like to juggle all of these different, or to wear these different hats and to juggle so many balls in the air?
Yeah, well, there are times when my bio work is all consuming and I set aside my book. You know, it's built into the process. I happened to find a couple of weeks late last year to spend another couple of weeks in my subject's archives. But during that time, I also held a board meeting via Zoom and, you know, I got my research done. I did some writing and, you know, so I go weeks or months at a time without being able to do much. But I also, it was also last fall when I successfully pitched my book proposal to get down to the nut. I'm on the verge of signing a contract for this book, which I'm hoping to finish in the next year or so.
What do you want people to know about your tenure here at BIO, your core values when it comes to this line of work?
I retired from daily journalism in 2016, and one of the first things I did that was on my plate was to finish a book that I'd been working on for some years. And I heard about somehow this organization, Biographers International. What the hell is that? I looked at they were having a conference in Richmond, Virginia, and I think, hey, I think I'll go to that and see what this organization is about. So I went to the conference 2016, Richmond, Virginia. Out of that conference, I was listening to TJ Styles and Annette Gordon-Reed, who were the keynoters. And Annette said something along the lines of, you know, having a universal subject or theme. And a very specific example here. So the book I was working on, I thought was going to be Hemingway in Kansas City. Because I was focusing on the year, less than a year, that he spent his youth, his apprenticeship after high school in the newspaper business here in Kansas City at my very own newspaper. As soon as I heard Annette utter that word, I immediately wrote in my notebook Hemingway at 18, which, you know, knowing that nobody would care about Hemingway in Kansas City as a book, but Hemingway at 18 is a much bigger thought and that people could identify with. And it also allowed me to stretch the book out to his wounding in the war, World War I, which happened 2 weeks before his 19th birthday. He was still 18 when he got wounded. So anyway, that immediate inspiration, I mean, I credit Bio for helping me do that and helping me finish the book. And out of that experience, I also found an editor and essentially sold the book that I was working on at the time. That was a pretty monumental experience, as far as I'm concerned, with Bio, my first experience with Bio. I continued going to the conferences. I agreed to be on certain committees again as we were hitting the pandemic and doing more and more online. Linda Level, bless her heart, invited me to join the board and then invited me to succeed her as president. So I owe a lot to Linda. You know, she was such a great leader of this organization, and she shepherded me along. You know, I am not a big voice leader. I do feel like I'm just shepherding the organization. And so as I look back at my experience, both as a member and as now as a board member and you know, the titular president, you know, it's all been incredibly positive.
Well, Steve Paul, thank you so much. That was Bio President Steve Paul talking with me about his invaluable work here at Bio. We recorded this interview on Zoom on February 26, 2025. For more information on becoming a Bio member, visit our website, biographersinternational.org, and click on the Join tab. Memberships start at just $30 a year and include a discount to the annual conference in Washington, D.C. in June. I'm Bio member and producer Jenny Skoog in New York City. Our executive producer is Sonia Williams. Darren Nesblitt created our theme music. Thank you so much for listening.